No te despegues de nuestra programación. Sigue con Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2346. Aquí comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio.
Alright, buenos días, buenas tardes y buenas noches en cualquier lado del mundo. Mi nombre es Grace, soy misionera de Filipinas y actualmente estoy sirviendo aquí en el hermoso y maravilloso país de Ecuador. Hello everyone, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening world. We are back on Open Space Conversations. I'm Grace, a Global Mission Fellow from the Philippines, and I'm currently serving in the beautiful and wonderful country of Ecuador. Now, to those who are tuning in through Encuentro Radio, I'm joined right now by four wonderful people from different corners of the world, who I will now invite to say a little something about themselves.
Hello, everyone. My name is Eliza. You guys might or might not recognize me from a few other episodes, but I am from the United States and currently serving in Barbados.
And hello everyone, my name is Yijing, and I actually was born in mainland China, and now I moved to Hong Kong to study, and I graduated and now working in Hong Kong at a local organization that works with the migrant workers, and and it's quite a pleasure for me to join today. Thanks.
Hi everyone, I'm Hani from Indonesia. I work here in Indonesia now. I was a GMF before. My placement site is in Hong Kong, so thank you for inviting me, and it's a pleasure for me to join the conversation with you all.
Hello everyone, I am Virgil. I'm from the Philippines, and I am a professor. I'm currently teaching language, literature, and culture. So I'm happy. I'm really glad that I'm back here again. I'm so happy that Grace invited me again to be part of the radio show. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. It's great to see you all. We are very thankful that you all agreed to our invitations to talk about our current topic. Today we will be talking and discussing about migrant rights and its impact. And we would like to emphasize raising awareness and how we can help in advocating for this issue. But before all that, please know that the views and opinions of the host and guests do not in any way reflect the views and opinions of any organizations, especially the Global Ministries or the Global Mission Fellows. Also, we're not professionals, we're just passionate people. We're not professionals in this topic, but for this episode, we will share based on our research and personal experiences. Also, you understand that this topic is complex and it might be triggering to some people. So please also be aware of that. And if you're ever comfortable or having a hard time in any part of the discussion, please feel free to disconnect. On the other hand, we would also like to hear from you. So share your stories, your comments, questions, or whatever you want to say to the group. You can participate by sending a message or questions to our panelists if you know them personally. Or you can also leave a comment on our Facebook Live, which can be found by searching Open Space Conversations-GMF 2023. 2022-2024. Again, that is Open Space Conversations-GMF 2022-2024. And please, this is just a reminder that this is a space for everyone to feel heard and included. So we all ask you to please be mindful of your words. Thank you. So, let's kick this off. Migrant rights. I guess the first question would be, what exactly is migrant rights? What are they? And how do visa systems impact them? And so I would like to ask my dear friend, Eliza, to start us off with the discussion and to shed some light on this topic. Eliza?
Thank you, Auntie Grace. As Auntie Grace said, I will be covering migrant rights and how visa systems may impact them. Let me start by defining what a migrant is. A migrant is a person who moves from one place to another, usually to find work or better living conditions. Fun fact, about 3.6% of the world's population, which is about 281 million people, currently live outside their country of origin. Immigrants may be a term you've heard of also, which refers to migrants who intend to settle in the new country and stay permanently. Refugees is another term that is commonly associated with migrants, but the main difference is that refugees are people who are forced to leave their homes, usually due to dangerous circumstances, which you might have remembered if you tuned into our previous episode. But because of this distinction, refugees are protected by certain rights that don't apply to all migrants. With that said, migrant rights are the rights of migrants that are implicitly or explicitly set by international migration law, including international human rights and other public law instruments. This basically just means that migrant rights refers to the basic human rights and protection for migrants. These rights cover a range of legal, social, and economic entitlements. Examples would be the right to work, the right to education, access to health care, freedom from discrimination, and due process under the law. For those who aren't good with legal terms like me, due process is essentially a citizen's fair treatment within the rules of the government's legal system. There are many international rights that migrants have, but each country still has their own laws, which is why some countries are harder to migrate to than others. Unfortunately, I am not able to share all those rights with you, but I do highly recommend doing thorough research to make sure if you are ever placed in vulnerable situations, you know your rights and how to advocate for yourselves. With that said, I will continue with visa systems and their impact. As you can imagine, visa systems play a significant role in shaping migrant rights as they determine who can enter a country, how long they can stay, and what rights and protections migrants have while they are there. Visas, of course, are great when you can obtain one, since they give you access to legal status, meaning people can live and usually work in the new country. I say usually work because some visas restrict or limit the types of jobs migrants can do. You all probably know there are different types of visas you can obtain, which each has their own limitations depending on the type. Some common examples are student visas, tourist, religious, or work visas. As I said earlier, the types determine how long and what they can legally do in another country. I say visas are great when you can obtain one, but depending on the country and your country of origin, obtaining even a tourist visa can be really difficult. There are a lot of different procedures and financial pressure placed on those trying to obtain one. Oftentimes, without a visa, one cannot legally enter into another country. Deportation and removal are usually the punishment for those who enter illegally, but there are times when fees or some kind of punishment, usually imprisonment, may be placed once returned to their country of origin. Once deportation occurs, it usually is really hard to return back to the country one got deported from. There usually is at least a 10-year ban placed on those individuals. But with that said, even with a visa, it may be hard to truly assimilate into a new place because of the limitations visas have. One challenge I mentioned earlier would be the migrant's ability to work, as limitations on the type of jobs can be placed. This usually places migrants at a disadvantage as they are left with low wages, unsafe working conditions, and or even employer abuse. Another challenge migrants face is access to services. Because they are not citizens of the country, they may not always have access to the same healthcare or education as citizens may have. As you can imagine, a migrant's life is not easy at all. Language barriers, culture shock, and just leaving behind a life they once knew is simply just parts of the challenges that we often think about. But there are many different factors to be considered that begins with even just obtaining a visa and legally being able to enter a country. However, many migrants will still choose those challenges in hopes to have more opportunities to create a better life for themselves and their families. As an immigrant myself, I will always be forever grateful for my parents and the doors they opened for me by simply taking a risk of a lifetime. We hope through this episode we are able to raise awareness of migrants, their rights, and their dreams. With that said, I'll give the mic back to Ati Grace. Thank you, and looking forward to the rest of this discussion.
Thank you so much, Eliza, for that very informing presentation. Yes, migrant rights is essentially basic human rights that everyone's entitled to.
Yeah.
Regardless of where they're from or regardless of their immigration status, but in situations all around the world, there are a couple of factors and challenges and barriers that is always comes with the status of being a migrant. And so I would like to call on our friend Lee Jun to tell us a bit more about these challenges that migrants all around the world face.
Yeah, so when I was first asked about the challenges that migrant workers might have on the journey, then I was thinking, it's not only about how they really physically settle in one place, right? For example, in Hong Kong, like for my work, I hear complaints from time to time about, well, the accommodations provided by the employers are not good enough. They are violating the contract. It's not, there is like deceptions involved. Yes, that is one aspect and needs to be approved on. But what I found out, which is much more frustrating for me as a sort of a social worker, is that it's not only to physically settle in one place to get comfort, to have a nice accommodation. Not only that, but also about how you get to suit yourself into a specific ground of social environment. And as Eliza said before, it's also about the cultural stuff. And when we talk about cultural stuff, it's not only saying abstract things that about your cultural identities and so on and so forth, but more importantly, they are directly related to how you can defend your rights, how you can suit yourself in a legal system, a social environment that is very unfamiliar to you. Like, for example, the issue I raised before about the bad accommodations, about long working hours, these things, they are not, how should I say, somehow the government or the immigration department will not always regard this as the proof that you are suffering from injustice or the violation of contract. In fact, whenever we receive a reply from the immigration will say that, well, just their recommendation is always like you should let the migrant workers to communicate and to discuss the issues with the employer first. But the fact is that the migrant workers, when they first come here, or the first few years of their employment here, they do not know how to argue. They do not know how to get into the logic of these Hong Kong local residents, the citizens. They do not know how to argue. When the employer behaves very angry to them, then they regard this as very hostile, as aggressive stuff. But actually, if you report this kind of issue to immigration, even to the police just say, well, swearing at you, being mad at you is not a big deal. Go discuss with your employer anyway. So I think this is the real thing that make the migrants' experience to be so challenged. It's about, because different social, they have different forms of culture and also different stages of development of their legal systems. And these two factors also intertwine with each other. I'm not saying that two regions, they might have a more advanced legal system or everything or anything. No, but they are used to serve the conflicts and the struggles between different parties. But apparently, when you get to a new place, there will be new patterns of struggle that you need to learn from. And it is very sad for me to say that many migrant workers, they might not really be able to get used to this, about the narratives, about the ways of struggle. They will not get used to this until they leave Hong Kong and return to their home of origin. And for me, that's one of the most frustrating facts. So many examples. For example, it's also about the sometimes the migrant workers also have a sort of a different expectations for the police to take action. Like police, sir, this woman, this employer hit me, he violatedly treat me, but how in such circumstances you still not help me to get my, for example, my personal belongings from them, just take it from you, for me, please. But the police just say, well, if the employer says it's not suitable for us to take your things today, we can only arrange them different time. But then later they tell me, in the Philippines, the situation is like totally different. The police will have different kinds of actions taken, totally. And I think this gap, this sort of distinctions between two places, it is just really taking a long time for everyone to learn from and to struggle with. And that's the major point that I want to raise here. And I also want to hear your opinions about it, truly. Yeah,
thank you, Li Jun. Yeah, we can hear your passion about this issue. Growing up in the Philippines, I think Burhel and I would share the same experience. It's not unique to seeing the news about a Filipino living overseas being abused or not being given the proper treatment that she deserves. I think recently read an article about, not I think, I know I read an article about this on the internet about a Filipino worker in a country in Asia, I'm not going to say which, it wasn't as close. Her passport was kept by her employer, and she wasn't given proper food, she wasn't given proper care, and she wasn't allowed to, you know, talk as loudly as, you know, whenever we Filipinos talk with our families, we get excited. She wasn't even allowed to do that. And, you know, whenever the owners would go out and, you know, leave the house, she would be locked in. And that is, unfortunately, not a unique story. We grew up hearing that in the news. So, really, and there's, as of 2023, there's been, I think, 2.4 million Filipinos living overseas. And most of these are workers. And it's sad that it's not, you know, uncommon to hear these types of news. So, yeah, thank you for that. And if anyone else wants to, from the panel wants to, you know, put in, chime in, just feel free to unmute. Okay. I'll let you think on that first, after the song break. So now, I hope for viewers or streamers or listeners, I hope you've all been informed about what you've talked about, what our panelists have shared about so far. But now we will go into a quick song break. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. But before we go, please feel free to connect with us. Send your comments, send your suggestions, your questions, or just type in where you're watching from. Tell us where you're streaming from, and we'll be reading them when we get back. So stay tuned.
I'm going to kiss this whole issue of border security. Who's going to say that the borders are secure? You've got the House and the Senate debating this issue, and it's really astonishing that in a country founded by immigrants has somehow become a bad word. So the debate rages on and continues.
Just like Anatole, we tend to count our dead. Black and white soldiers wonder alike if this really means freedom. Not yet.
I got one job, two job, three when I need them. I got five roommates in this one studio, but I never really see them. And we all came America trying to get a lap dance from Lady Freedom. But now Lady Liberty is acting like Hillary Banks with a prenup.
Banks with a prenup.
Man, I was brave, sailing on graves. Don't think I didn't notice those tombstones disguised as waves. I'm no dummy. Here's something funny. You could be an immigrant without risking your lives. Across these borders with thrifty supplies. All you gotta do is see the world with new eyes.
Immigrants, we get the job done.
Somos como las plantas que crecen sin agua, sin pasaporte americano, porque la mitad de Gringolandia es terreno mexicano. Hay que ser bien hijo de puta, nosotros les sembramos el árbol y ellos se comen la fruta. Somos los que cruzaron, aquí vinimos a buscar el oro que nos robaron. Tenemos más trucos que la policía secreta, metimos la casa completa en una maleta. Con un pico, una pala y un rastrillo, construimos un castillo. ¿Cómo es que dice el coro?
Immigrants, we get the job done.
Look how far I come. Look how far I come. Look how far I come. We get the job done. Look how far I come. Look how far I come. Look how far I come.
Immigrants, we get the job done.
Look how far I come. Look how far I come. Look how far I come.
Get the job done. Not yet. All right, we're back. Once again, you are tuning in to Open Space Conversations. And before we continue with our discussion, I would like to give a quick shout out to our friends who are streaming us via our Open Space Conversation Facebook page. Just let me look at them. Shout out to Jelica, Paula Jelica Santos, watching from Vietnam. She said, looking forward to this conversation. Shout out to Tari Niamodes, our own friend. She says, watching from Hong Kong. So excited since I work with migrants myself. Thank you for watching, Tari. Feel free to leave your comments in the comment sections. We'd love to hear about your thoughts and opinions. Next is shout out to Christine Glenn, watching from South Korea. Annyeong, Christine. Shout out to Michelle July, watching from Colombia. And to Welame Amor Ramos, watching from the Philippines. Magandang gabi. Hello, Wella. Okay. All right. And so we've talked about the definition of migrant rights, the challenges in terms of visas, the challenges with the treatment, and, you know, just the general situation that was shared by our friends Eliza and Lee June. And now we are going to move on to talk about current immigration policies and how they shape the experiences of migrants. And I would like to call our friend Hani for that. Hani, would you like to take the stage, please?
Okay, hi. When we are talking about the current or immigration policies, of course, it shapes the migrant experience life in the host countries. Like what Lee Jun has explained regarding to the challenges in settlement in the host country is also actually affected by the immigration policies. What I'm gonna say in this conversation is immigration policies is actually affect the access or the access of the migrants to get their own rights. If we understand the immigration status of everyone, the migrant workers or even the professional workers or even refugee or asylum seekers, the immigration status define the workers or the migrants' rights in the host countries. Like, for example, many of migrants workers in Hong Kong, in Malaysia, in Taiwan, in Singapore has no equal rights as the locals. So when they are, for example, this is based on my experience working with the migrant workers in several countries, Indonesian migrant workers in several countries, they are excluded from the labor ordinance. They experience a stigmatization, they experience a discrimination because of their status, because of their immigration status. For example, when we compare the migrant workers' rights with the local workers' rights, when they have the standards of the minimum wages or the standards of even the working hours, but the migrant workers has no standards. For example, in Hong Kong, the migrant worker has no standards of the working hours because they are living with the, because they have to live with their employers. So they don't have working hours. They have to be available on 24/7. Or whenever the employers need them. And for example, in Taiwan and in Singapore, they don't have they are excluded from the labor ordinance of the minimum wages, also in Hong Kong. When the minimum wages, like based on the performance or based on the hours, how many hours that they are working with the employers, but like the migrant workers, it's not like that. So even like when we compare, like for example, like the amount that the minimum amount that the migrant workers like earn every month. Like I'm not really sure with the amounts. Like maybe a region will can update the exact amount. So for example, like the migrant workers can acquire like the minimum wages of the migrant workers in Hong Kong, like around 4,500 Hong Kong dollar a month. But like when we
compare, it should be 4,870.
Yeah, it's like something like that. But like when we compare it to the minimum wages of the locals, it's like 1/3 of the minimum wages. But the minimum wages of like what the locals can earn. Even like when we compare it to the cost of the parking, like the parking cost in Hong Kong, it's like there are some areas in Hong Kong, like cost higher than the wages that the migrant workers earn in Hong Kong. And also like the immigration policies also affect have like influence in the rights of expression of the migrants and also the rights to organize. Like for example in Taiwan and Singapore, due to the political situation, the immigration policy is changing. So we actually have like several, like our organizations, we're working with the migrant workers, especially in the services and the empowerment area. So last time, like this is like based on our experience, that when we have like a parenting session with the migrant mothers, and for the Singapore's and Taiwan, it's hard for them like to join us, even though it's like educational session, because some of the migrant workers in Singapore are afraid to join any online activities because they might be accused of getting involved in any political activities. So this is how like the immigration status or immigration policies really suppress their rights to express or to getting involved in many activities because they are afraid that if they are accused being involved in any political situation or any political activities, it might affect to their on their visa extension or their working the working contract. So and also the suppression for the migrant workers also experience in Singapore when they don't have any rights or they cannot like make like an organization. Like build like an organization or establish an organization like in Hong Kong or in Taiwan or in Macau, but like people like in Singapore, like the migrant workers are in Singapore, they cannot have like any certain organization. Even though they have like the organization, they need to be like undercover. I just want to also highlight that this current immigration policies also suppress the space of migrants to any activities, especially after COVID, when there are a lot of stigmatization, discrimination, and learning from the Indonesian migrant workers in Hong Kong as well. They cannot like really doing like any protest action, or they cannot like really doing any you know, open activities in the public because of the current situation, like the current political situation in the host countries. Yeah, that's some examples that I can explain to and share to you all.
Wow, thank you, honey. Well, even though we're kind of aware of the general situation of, you know, migrants around the world, it's still a different thing altogether to know the specifics, even in the context of one or two countries. I noticed you mentioned earlier about the irregularity of, you know, work times of migrants. Would Legion or Hani, would any one of your, both of you, enlighten us on this? Because whenever you're, you know, working, it's a standard 9 to 5, 8 to 4, or 7 to, it's never like 12 hours straight, 13 hours straight. So, would you be able to tell us a little bit more about that?
So the average hour that the migrant workers, especially in Hong Kong, they usually have is actually like 11 to 16 hours a day.
With a break in between, or is that?
It depends. So, but like somehow they have like a, but I think Legion can explain more some like that. That's in Hong Kong. It's like different also experience, of the migrants. They also have like similar, like long working hours because, working as domestic workers, you cannot like just stay with like 9 to 5 or like, 10 to 6. But like you need to wake up like so early, and then like finish work like so late. So like this is like a why, how we know that like they experience the long working hours, because like sometimes when our organization, when my organization having like an activities like forums or we can start the activities, or we can conduct the activities after they finish the work. And it's like around 10 p.m. their time. So I think we cannot like really see that like they are working like exactly 8 hours. And when we are having like activities, like they sometimes, like they are still working. Or even though they are not working, they cannot like really, take rest. Because they don't have like a rooms, or they don't have like a private space for them to take rest. Like what Legion mentioned, in Hong Kong there is like an issues about the accommodation where the migrant workers need to stay in the guest room or in the living room or in the, even like in the toilet or something like that. So they need to wait until the employers finish their activities. After that, they can like take rest, something like that. Maybe you can explain more about the current situation of like working hour in Hong Kong.
Yes, that's definitely a big problem. Because to my knowledge, I think the employment contract between a migrant worker and the employer here in Hong Kong is very special form, because you will observe it, you will recognize that from time to time, it seems to us that migrant workers here in Hong Kong, they are really not considered as a independent adult or human being, I would say, because they live with their employers. And as we mentioned before, there is no fixed time, like maybe they, because all their work schedule is subject to their employer's needs. For example, if your employer needs you to prepare for their breakfast, then you wake up around like 6 or 7 to start preparing. And if your employer is someone who works until very late at night, and he needs you to prepare her or his extra dinner around 10 or 11, coffee, and if he always get drunk to get home and you need to take care of him or her, all those kind of things happens. And that is why I think there are many documents and studies about the domestic worker here, if they do get along with their employer, which is sort of a good result, it's like they live like family. But the family bond is somehow still kept with a employment contract, which is a civil society thing, right? It's a legal thing, etc. So that's a very weird. We find migrant workers always caught at the middle. Like sometimes they want to be pursue the legal terms, and sometimes they still think, oh, my relationship with my employer is sort of good. I don't know what really measures to proceed. That's a really big problem. Like, you find this sort of a sticky sort of relationship between them that you cannot really sort out by common sense or legal sense. That's a really big problem to me.
Yeah, I think that phrase "caught in the middle" really describes it perfectly, because when you're like a worker abroad, especially in my context, I can only speak about my context in the Philippines, you will earn less, like what you guys said earlier, you will earn less of what the, you know, the residents or the normal people are earning. But compared to that, they would be earning more than what they've been, than what they would have earned if they're back in their home countries. So I think they're caught between a rock and a hard place, maybe we could say. It's and, you know, mentioning about that relationship with their employers, we're kind of okay, but maybe we're kind of not okay, but my family needs my support, and so maybe I'll stay here for now. And then there's this problem that you kind of try to tell people, but it's also kind of not being addressed. So, yeah, it's tough. It's tough for people to live like that. And I've also, well, speaking of stigma and discrimination, I noticed Hani mentioned that earlier, stigma and discrimination. I would like to move on to our next panelist, Overhell, and invite him to tell us more about common misconceptions and stereotypes about migrants. Overhell or Virgil?
Virgil. Okay. I should say that there are some people, or there are many people, who are very welcoming and understanding for the reasons for increase of migrants, right? But we cannot avoid the fact that there are also misconceptions and negative stereotypes. Okay. I'd like to point out the number one misconception or stereotype among the migrants. So they believe that migrants steal the jobs from the locals. Okay, so I'd like to say that in the Philippines, there is actually an exodus of skilled workers. There is a brain drain in the Philippines, particularly those in the health sector. Nurses, doctors. I should also say that Thailand, Taiwan, Japan are needing teachers, also China. So you can see that these migrants or these workers are not actually stealing the jobs of the locals, but they are actually filling the skills gaps and labor shortage in particular country. So we can say that not all locals can actually provide these jobs, right? Because maybe some of them are not trained to, or maybe they are not, you know, or really that skilled to fill in these jobs. And we can also see that aside from the medical and the teaching field, food industry, of course, like in Taiwan, they need workers. Okay, so you can say that a country cannot survive alone without migrants. So migrants are badly needed to fill in, of course, these jobs, okay? So maybe we can say that there's somehow a competition between the locals and the migrants, okay? And we can say that not all migrants actually receive maybe the same salary or the same benefits as the locals, okay, as what you discussed earlier, okay? But we can say that migrants are attracted to these job vacancies because they pay more, they are paid more compared to their local or home countries. So migrants go there for a particular reason, for particular reasons, and that is because there is a demand for services and products. So that's actually not true. So we cannot say that that migrants are assuming the jobs of the locals. Okay. Another thing that I want to point out is that migrants don't actually carry and spread diseases, as what Trump has said when COVID-19 was, you know, was spread all over the world. So Trump, as he said, he coded it as it's not COVID virus, but as a Chinese virus. Okay, so they said it's not actually a Chinese virus. So it did not originate in China, or Chinese people are not the, you know, the spreaders of the disease. So there is what you call there is a stereotype. Okay, that is actually not true, but we can say that those undocumented migrants, there is actually proof that most of them are actually trafficked for sexual exploitation, right? So most of them have a higher risk of contracting sexually transmitted diseases. So what I mean is that we can get any diseases, right? So I just don't like the fact that we are actually, you know, pointing a disease to one particular country, to one nationality, okay? Then another thing is, actually there are a lot of lists, you know, of different misconceptions and stereotypes about the migrant workers. But I'd like also to, I think I'm just going to, you know, to narrow it down to three. So the third one is migrant workers only benefit from their country that they're working. Okay, so for the Filipinos, of course, they have remittances, right? And of course, here in the Philippines, migrant workers, OFWs, are considered as our heroes, modern heroes, because they have contributed a lot to the country's economy, right? So, but I'd like to say that most of the migrant workers go to a particular country because they have to. Okay, to support their families, and but we do not know, you know, the struggles of these workers. Okay, they go to a particular country, they have to abide with the laws, they have to pay taxes, they have to pay insurance, they have to pay the rent, they have to spend money according to their needs and the necessities. You know, so what I mean is that The country where they are working also benefit from them. Aside from the services that they provided, aside from the products that they provide, they also benefit from these workers. Okay. I just wanted to share. Okay. Before I end, you know, I end my sharing. This particular poem written by a local writer. Adonis Dorado, if you have the time to search it. It's titled Ode to Joy. Okay. That is very, very interesting poem, a very good poem. It's all about joy. a migrant worker from the Philippines. She is a manicurist. And on February 12, 2018, her original name was Joanne Dimasilis, and she returned to the Philippines in a wooden crate. And she was welcomed by grieving family members who still couldn't believe that she had been dead for nearly 2 years. So her corpse was kept in a freezer in an abandoned apartment in Kuwait. Okay, and I'd like to give you a short background of the poem. It portrays about the life of Joy, okay? And she was described as cheerful, funny, lighthearted, lively, and hobby. So behind that facade is actually a woman who sacrificed her own happiness to give her family a comfortable life. And in the poem, it underscores the sorrowful destiny that she faced when she began working as a domestic helper in Kuwait. And I think we have heard a lot of stories from our migrant workers who have, maybe some of them have good, they have good employers, but some of them also have a very bad experience, and some of them died, you know, serving other people and doing the jobs that they are required asked to do. So I think those are my points. Thank you.
Thank you, Virgil, for sharing. I think I vaguely remember reading that poem years ago, but I'm so out of touch with my literature side. But thank you for that. Yes, I think it's called service for a reason, you know. People in the service industry, it's called service because you serve. And so it's not only the people getting paid that's getting benefits from it and the country, but also where they're serving. Essentially, they apply for that job because that job is needed. You know, and in countries, well, and it's unfortunate, but it happens. You know, there are jobs that people just are not willing to work with. You know, they don't want to take up that job. And so migrants often get what locals don't want to do. And that's, in a way, that's helping the country where they're serving. So it's not a one-way thing. It's give and take. So thank you for that. Anyone want to chime in before we go to a quick song break? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Okay. Now, it's once again time for a quick song break. So to our friends who are streaming us live, if you haven't sent in your comments yet, if you haven't, you know, let us know where you're watching from, type in our comment sections, and we will still have time to read them after the song break's over. So stay tuned.
Yeah. niggas dead or locked away. Teenage women growing up with AIDS. Cause that's the life when you're living in the
Okay. Hola a todos, you're back. Thank you for staying tuned for viewers on Facebook Live. Thank you for staying with us until the last part. This time I would like to ask our friends here among us about what stood out to you or your takeaways during our time of discussion and sharing. For me, just knowing the details about migrant situations all around the world, and I'm not a stranger to it. Growing up in the Philippines, hearing about this news, and now I'm currently in Ecuador, and Ecuador has the largest population of migrants. I think 2023, there's a total of 800,000 migrants from all over Latin American countries, because Ecuador is a means of escape for most of these migrants, and the government is doing their best, but the influx is just too much at once. So we see people, entire families just begging in the streets. I would walk from the terminal to my residence, and I would see, men, women, children, adults, all people just begging on the streets or trying to entertain people on stoplights, juggling and just doing whatever kinds of tricks they could to earn the money, a little for the day. So thank you, friends, for sharing such valuable information to us and to our friends who are streaming us on Facebook. Would anyone else want to jump in?
Yeah, same here. I think it's definitely something new that I've heard about from Virgil from Honey, and also Eliza, that the migrant workers, the challenges they face it comes from different dimensions, right? Whether it's cultural, legal, and also from sort of a phantasmatic level that they always being stigmatized, because if we recall how Nazism works, it's not really that Jews have done something wrong or they are indeed an evil person. In fact, an ordinary German person will see their neighbor Jews as a very ordinary and kind guy. But how Nazism works is that despite all the appearance that they are nice people, they think there is always something wrong with those kind of Jews and stuff like that. And I think about the stigmatized about the migrant workers, they are the same. It's we always some of the citizens, they always try to look for those kind of struggling or uneasy things from the appearances of the migrant workers, and such kind of fantasy. And if we recall, they're also grounded not only by their rationality or their brains, but also the social background. in general, that the conflicts in this in their own lives that has caused such a thing, and it is indeed like embedded in a whole global market or the economic system, as we said, that so many countries are suffering from like aging population, they need new labor force, and the elderly, they lack of social resources or their own offsprings to keep them safe and keep their dignity in their old ages. And all these problems, so the challenges of the migrant workers, they are not sort of like isolated, but they are also, I think, related and influencing with each other, with some of the, you know, those nasty employers, if I may call them. And they also suffer from their own, but they just treating the root cause of their problems in wrong ways. And in certain way, I'm like not very positive. I think that this kind of prejudice, this kind of stigmatization can never be solved. But unless the not only the migrant workers, but also the different parties in the mainstream society, they can also reflect onto their own challenges. And I think if we talk about the international solidarity, and it really comes from this kind of struggle as well. And anyway, just really happy to share with thoughts and hear about these problems from different perspective. And I really appreciate it. And yeah.
I'd like to say that if you're a migrant worker, you are subject to the law where you're working. But I'd like also to say that even if there is a law, you should also know how to fight for your right or rights as a migrant worker. Okay. So also I would like to concur with Legion. A behavior of one worker or one person does not reflect, does not reflect the whole country, does not reflect a particular group, okay? So we all know that, of course, there are laws that our migrants have to abide, but I think that's the challenge there, abiding the laws. But also, yeah, that's what I said. If your rights as a migrant worker are actually violated, you have to fight for it. There are some workers who are just silent. They're not willing to, you know, share their struggles with their families because they don't want to get worried or be affected with their situation. But if you think that you're not good anymore, or you're not in a good employer, then seek for help. I think that's the most important thing. And do not allow others, even if they're locals, to, you know, step down on you. Again, you're there because they need you. And the purpose, sorry for saying this, and I would like to assert that the purpose why you're there is that they need you and you also need them. That's vice versa. That's give and take. Okay. So I just hope that there are also, more laws that will be passed in the Senate or in the Congress that will help our migrant workers, our OFWs. We need to protect them. We need to, you know, save them from any abuse, from any trafficking, because again, they are our modern heroes, and we should not forget that there are humans too. So, have to be on. Thank you.
Okay, so having this space to talk about migrant workers, it means that a space for us to understand and to learn about migrant workers' struggle, and put it the migrant workers' issues or the migrant issues in the conversation it means that we are ready or we want to join their fight for their rights, and we build the solidarity to always keep the migrant workers, because the struggle and the fight of the migrant workers is not easy way, and it will take long journey for them to can like uphold their rights, to get their rights. So it requires like support from others. It requires support from many people. It requires solidarity for them to achieve their rights. So this is like an irony that they are fighting for their rights, but like in the limited, like, you know, in the limited situation. So I think it's a call for us, for everyone here, like in the conversations, to always like join force with the migrant workers or the migrants or the refugees or anyone in their struggles and in their fight.
Thank you, everyone. I truly learned a lot, and like considering all the different perspectives. I mean, everyone has said everything pretty much, but I did want to say, like, I think this is just a reminder of how important grace and understanding for others is, because we just don't really understand their challenges the way that they're experiencing. I mean, it's just the iceberg. We only see the top of the surface and never the underneath. And so just a big hug to all the migrant workers out there. We feel for you. We do.
Thank you, friends. I would like to share a passage from the book of Deuteronomy. It's found in the 10th chapter, 19th to the 21st verse, and it says, "You must treat foreigners with the same loving care. Remember, you were once foreigners in Egypt. Reverently respect God, your God. Serve him, hold tight to him. Back up your promises with the authority of his name. He's your praise. He's your God. He did all these tremendous, these staggering things that you saw with your own eyes. So let us not forget that we're all created equally. We're all created by the same God. And thus, we must treat each other as such, regardless of the color of our skin, regardless of our nationality, regardless of our social standing, regardless if we have money or not, we're all equal. And so let us never forget to treat each other with respect." Okay. Thank you so much to our panelists, to Lee Jun, Virgil, Verhil, Hani, and of course, our tech support / panelist as well, Eliza. That is all, friends, for today, for today's episodes. But please join us on our 17th of May episode. This will be the last episode of our batch. Well, at least for our GMF batch. For the open space conversations. And I promise it will be an interesting one. So I hope you get to join us then as well. All right, everybody, it's been such a pleasure meeting you guys. Thank you for sharing your insights. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. It's been such a great time. So stay safe, love one another, and may God bless us all. Hasta pronto. Ciao.